I've been given the task to continue our bridging blocks, the theme, which is simply talking about who we are as a church. And, you know, we've learned about these are values that we embrace, values that we believe as a leadership are important and things that we want to instill in people's lives. So to recap briefly, it's about encountering, teaching people how they can encounter God, teaching them how they can engage people when they're outside. Last week, Kevin said it's about equipping you, the saints, to do the work that God has called you to do. And for me this morning, I'm going to be speaking about empowering people to become leaders. And it's a topic that when you begin to think about it, it's very easy to say, well, Michael, I mean, I don't think that I'm called to be a leader, or maybe I'm not in a position at my workplace where I'm a supervisor, one that has that kind of position. But one of the things that I'm going to spend some time initially is just to try to demystify some of those preconceptions that we have. And before I do that, I want to pray over all of us here. And I just pray, Lord, would you just help us in this area of understanding of what leading means. It's simply about having an influence on someone's life. Help us to see how we can actually do that in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves. So, Lord, would you just open not just our hearts but our minds this morning so that we can see ourselves becoming leaders in whatever area, whatever sphere that you put us in. In Jesus' name, amen. Our desire as part of the pastoral team, leadership team here at the Bridge is to see you guys doing the things that God has already planned for you in advance. That's Ephesians 2:10 talks about that, is for you to embrace that. Because once you embrace that, it's again, you'll begin to do the things that God created you to do. Isn't that what we all want in what we do? Do we just want to do things because we have to? And there are obviously times that we have to do that, but we want to do things that God has specifically made us to do. So I'm going to ask you, as I said, I'm going to demystify some things, because I know that sometimes when we think about leadership, what it means, and seeing ourselves as being leaders, we can get a little bit confused, because we can look at that area of leading from a world kind of view. Because we live in the world, even though we know we're not in it, but we live or part of it, but we do live in it, and so we take on things in this world. So you immediately think of, well, you know, you think of your boss or your supervisor, and you think of, you know, the guys that are leading churches in that way. But I want to help you to see that actually we're all called to leadership of some form or shape. And when I mean leadership, I mean the ability to actually influence someone else. Because when we try to mix the two together, world views, kingdom views, things do get confusing. So I want you to put your kingdom glasses on and see what God says about that. And as I said, you know, even though we live in the world, we're not of the world, but we're of Christ. We're a new creation. Remember, the old has gone, the new has come. And that's a wonderful position to be in, a new creation in Christ, made and fashioned by Him. And so you've got to take all the preconceptions that you have that we live in, you really have to put them aside. Because you have to see yourself through the lenses that God sees you and what He has made you and what He's continuing to refine in you through a process that we call sanctification. When I was preparing for this message, there were kind of two words that came to me that hopefully will help all of us to understand how you can become a leader in whatever place you heir. And the two words are context and diversity. And the context, by context I mean simply where you happen to be. It's where you are. See, the Lord has placed each and every one of us in some type of context. Or sometimes we use the word sphere. You have a sphere. And your sphere of influence is simply where you work, where you live, where you play, where you go to school. Those are some of the places. There's more than that as well. I mean, if you simply started to think of your patterns and what you do on a weekly basis, you know, let's say you're in the workforce, and you just kind of look at what you do. You get up, you leave from home, you go to work, you come home. Maybe on the way home you stop somewhere. You go to the bank, you get some money, you go to the grocery store, buy some stuff. If you have teenage boys, you go to the bank again and then buy more groceries for them. But you know what I mean. If you had to map it out on a map, you'd see a very defined locations or context that you find yourself in all the time. And that probably represents 80-90% of what you do all the time. And in all those places, that's the context that God has placed you in. That's your sphere of influence. And the wonderful thing is that it's more than that, because, again, we're this new creation. Christ now lives in us. So wherever we go, we bring Him with us. His presence is with us. We see it both in the Old and the New Testament, where they say, wherever you put your foot, I'll give you that land. And that principle still applies. And we see it in the New Testament as well. Wherever we go, we bring the presence of God. And so that suddenly becomes a new context or a new sphere of influence. So if you kind of say, well, Michael, I just don't have the opportunity that other people have in being in places, I'm going to say, no, you do. Just think about it for a moment. You're in places where you're surrounded by people. You know, when you shop, when you're out in your yard tending your grass or your flowers, you know, as you're kind of waving to the neighbor, or you smiling to the person you see walking his dog on the sidewalk, those are all opportunities. And they're not necessarily all opportunities to say something, but they're opportunities, I want you to see, that you can influence people. And we'll talk about what that is. The second word, diversity. Why is that so important? Because when we were here on Wednesday night, we did something a little bit different. Chris came up with just really a spirit, Holy Spirit thing. And we just gathered together here. That was a circle. It was an oblong kind of circle, if that's possible. And Chris just started off with, okay, guys, like, what have you been reading? What has God been speaking to you? And people just started to share. And Karen started, you know, and it's one of my favorite verses too, Ephesians 2:10, about the whole fact that God has prepared plans for you in advance, works for you to do, activities for you to do in advance already. And we just need to discover what those things are. But then we started to talk about, you know, the body of Christ and different aspects of what that means. And this wonderful image that we see both in Romans and in 1 Corinthians 12, where, you know, Paul describes the body of Christ in terms of the human body. And isn't that a great way? Because we know what the human body is like. And it talks about this amazing diversity of what the body of Christ is. You know, that we're all different parts. We all have different functions. And it's important to realize that when you're thinking of trying to think of yourself as a leader, because diversity in the body of Christ is a strength. Sometimes that diversity in other spheres or in other situations aren't seen that way, but in the kingdom, it's this wonderful strength of the diversity of the body of Christ. The kingdom is all-inclusive. It's for everyone. You've heard Mark say, it's our heart is that this is the church for everyone, for the whosoevers. And the wonderful thing is that it just, when you begin to realize the diversity of each and every one of you, that God has fashioned and made you differently, uniquely, it again, it just shows the wonderful, multifaceted nature of Christ, of what Christ Church looks like. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where He wants it." God, if this is your church, God has put each and every one of you as a part of this body, local body called the Bridge. He's put you here for a specific purpose and for a reason. And we, as part of the leadership here, want to encourage you in that so that you can begin doing the things that God has for you. And that's why we need to look at leading with the right kind of understanding. And unfortunately, sometimes we need to look, well, we need to have the right understanding, which is a biblical view, which is a kingdom view of what God is saying about engaging people and equipping the saints and how it is that you can bring the love of God wherever it is that you go to. And unfortunately, which is what I was going to say, because unfortunately sometimes in the church we see actually more of the world than we see actually of the kingdom. And we want to get it right. We want to see, what does the Word of God say that? What does it speak to us of how it is that you and I can become various types of leaders in whatever context that we find ourselves, whatever context the Lord puts us in? All of you have some capacity and some ability to lead. Some, like Mr. Harper, has a sphere that includes, what, 35 million Canadians. For some of us, it's others may be thousands. For some of us, it's simply one or two. And that's okay. One isn't better than the other in the kingdom. The thing is that God has a specific purpose. And as long as we're doing that, that's how we're making the most impact in the kingdom. Your sphere may be different than mine, but you have a sphere that God has given you. Your marching orders may be different than mine, but they all have to do with advancing the kingdom in one shape or form. And the wonderful thing is, in the local church, whatever gifting or ability that you bring, even though it may vary, even though it may be different, but whatever it is that God has called us to do, what you'll see is they will complement one another. They will not work against each other. And they will, because God has called us to work together in unity. That's how the body works. The human body as well as the body of Christ. I want you to begin to see whatever context God has placed you in, to see it as an opportunity and not a battlefield. It's not a place where we want to, in ways that aren't helpful, try to force people to hear the gospel, to force people to do things that they don't want to do. It's not a battlefield in that sense, but see it as an opportunity instead to influence those that are around you. Now, remember somebody said, and I may not be saying it correctly, but it was something like, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. There's lots of different ways that we can demonstrate that Christ is in us and the attributes and the qualities that we are as believers, as followers of Jesus. And that's what leading means, I believe, is putting ourselves in positions where we can have an influence on someone. And so that's a long introduction. The rest of it is going to be a little bit shorter, but I hope that you begin to realize, I hope, Lord, would you just help us to see that we're not trying to qualify under terms and conditions that we see in the workplace, but we're already qualified in Christ. If you're a believer, you are qualified. You may not fit the qualifications of what someone is looking for that gives you a position of being a supervisor or whatever, but you are qualified by Christ to be a carrier of the Word of God, to be a carrier of His love. And that puts you in a position to be able to influence someone. So a leader is, and I've repeated this, and I will repeat certain things several times because I'm just trying to make sure that we get it. The first thing is, a leader is someone who can influence someone. How? By your example is one way. Just look at Jesus' life. Just go through the Gospels and look and see how Jesus was an example in his life. We see that in Paul as well, and how purposeful Paul was to put himself in positions to be able to do whatever was necessary to help people come into contact with Christ. We can do it by looking at what's the motivation behind what we do. When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're going to school, what motivates you to do what you're doing? Is it the love of God? Is it a desire to demonstrate some aspect of who He is, His passion, His show His compassion for people? Is it for love of people that's your motivation? Because, you see, we are this new creation in Christ. Now, all of a sudden, the qualities and the things that make up who Christ is start to become part of who we are. And so we find ourselves having a love for people. And so that's something that we can demonstrate. That can be a motivation in whatever it is that you're doing and all your interactions that you have with people. It can be, your motivation might be that in the workplace that you're going to be honest. You're going to be show integrity in everything that you do. And that may surprise you, like, why wouldn't anyone not do that? But people come from all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of situations. I remember a friend of mine during university summer came to Toronto, back to Toronto where he lived. We were going to school in Ottawa, and he got a job in a warehouse. And so, you know, he goes to the job and he figures, hey, I'm being hired to do a job. I'm going to do it as well as I can. Well, it didn't take long before somebody came up to him and said, hey, listen, you're working too fast. You're doing too much. You're making the rest of us look bad. No, I don't know if it was union. May not have been. It doesn't just happen in the union situation. You know, you can come into situations where, yeah, you don't need to say anything, but it's just what you do will bring you in conflict with someone or a group of people. But I just want to say, just stand firm. That's how, you don't even have to say anything. Your words, your actions say everything. And that's what I mean about what motivates you. If we come with the love of Christ and we're trying to exhibit all of the characters and attributes of what that is. You know, in Ephesians it says, if you're an employer, it says back then a slave, but today it's employers, do whatever, you know, you can. Do it as if you do it for Christ, right? And when you go into work, do whatever you do in that way. And you know, there'll be the one or two that'll be the ones that'll say, you're working too fast, you're making the rest of us. But you know what? Just don't let it faze you. Don't be rude. Just say, if you have to, you can explain why it is you're doing what you're doing. But I'm telling you that at some point in time, and I'm sure many of you have this testimony, and whether it's in your workplace or whatever, you might get criticized for what you believe in. But if you stand firm, it will have an impact. And I know Chris has an amazing testimony that way as well, where he would actually have guys come to him when they had an issue or a problem because they knew where he stood. And our example and the reason why we do things are powerful. The other thing is your lifestyle is an important thing. You know, people are looking. They're always looking at what we're doing, especially if they know that you're a Christian. They're always looking to see how you live your life. And of course, we all know the stories about, you know, well, you know, Christians talk out of both sides of their mouth. Yeah, well, sometimes we do. But that's hopefully not our heart. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and he says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young." But he says to him, and this applies to us as well, "But be an example to all believers in what you say, what comes out of the mouth, in the way that you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." Those are powerful, powerful things that we're all qualified to do. We can all do those things and do them well. Second point is, a leader is someone who's been given authority. Because you might say, well, you know, how can I lead? Because again, I don't have that authority. You see, I'm just a worker. I'm not a foreman, I'm not a supervisor, whatever that is. But remember, you're a kingdom child. And God has given you authority. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." You have been given authority. You've been given positional authority as well. Ephesians 2:6 says, "For he," the Father, "has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms," because we are united with Jesus Christ. So that doesn't mean necessarily that you have an authority to go and get your little box and stand on it and start preaching to everybody. I don't mean that kind of authority, but you have spiritual authority. And I've just demonstrated about in your example, in what you show in the lifestyle that you live, that you can have a tremendous impact, which will then lead to opportunities in which you can actually share and tell people about why it is that you are the way you are. Because people will notice. They will pay attention. All believers have been given authority to lead people. And ultimately, our heart is to lead them to Christ. But you know what? You may not do that. That may be someone else God has in mind that to do that. But you can begin to plant seeds. And we can plant seeds not just by telling people about Jesus, but we can do it by living lives and showing examples that show actually that we're not just saying something with our mouth, we're actually living it out. You know, for a lot of people, that has more impact than anything else. We had friends of ours, and I can't tell you how many times we've told them about Christ, that we would, you know, give them an example, use our own lives. But you know, the thing that made the most impact with them is just how they saw us live. And in different circumstances that they would see and how we would react, especially under pressure situations, you know, that they wouldn't see us necessarily freak out in the public, but they would see a kind of calmness. It's that peace which surpasses understanding that comes out. And that's what, and she's a good friend of Janine's right now. And she noticed that, and I thought, wow, it really had an impact on me. I thought, wow, people actually, you know, it didn't look like, they didn't seem to be listening to what we were telling them with our mouths, but they seemed to have gotten something by what they saw. And don't ever underestimate the impact that you can have, and that's such a powerful thing. Not everyone will have a form by which they can speak to people in this way, but you have so many other ways. You know, the gospel would never be spread out into every nation, every tribe and tongue, unless that were the case. Because you know what? There's not enough preachers to reach everyone. It takes the whole body of Christ. It takes you to be able to do that. When I was looking at leadership, and you know, thank goodness for the internet today, because you can basically Google and find all sorts of stuff. Mind you, you can find good stuff and you can find a lot of garbage too. So you have to use wisdom and discernment in that. But I just try to, I'm starting to kind of summarize and conclude at this point. And there's so much more that could be said. There's others have said much more and probably better. But hopefully what you've heard this morning is just something that will encourage you and inspire you and show you that actually you're able to influence people. You're able to lead them in your lifestyle and what you do and all sorts of other manners. But I came upon John Maxwell, and many of you know him. He's a pastor, and he's also an author and writer who's written many books on leadership and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not even going to begin to touch on all the aspects of it. Some of them are specifically for leaders in churches, but all sorts of applications. But there's one thing that I was kind of reading that I thought might be helpful for all of us as I come to a conclusion, is how can you, this is answering the question, how can you learn how to lead? And one thing that I saw that really touched me and I thought made a lot of sense is he was saying he's realized as being a leader in a church setting, he realized, like a lot of leaders have, that you need to learn how to lead yourself. And I'm hoping that you can take that little thing about learning to lead yourself and take it to heart and say, well, actually, I can. That's a good place to begin. I know even this past week, you know, the Lord was just showed me an area where I hadn't been leading well in my family. And it's not that anyone said anything, but it's just the Lord just prompted me. And I saw what it was, and you know, sometimes there's laziness, there's fear, there's all sorts of obstacles sometimes that we have to leading the way God wants us to. But with God's help, I pushed through all those things, and because we can, because Christ is our strength, and we have victory in Christ. And His heart is that we begin to get and understand what it is that we're doing. Because He wants us to succeed. You know, Jesus wants you to succeed. And He wants you to be excellent. Not because He demands it, but He knows that by being excellent, we'll actually reap the benefit of that as well. Although that's not necessarily the motivation behind it. But He does it for our own benefit. It's like, as I've repeated this a few times, it's like saying, you know, a beautiful creation of God, like a flower that we've all seen, just become what God created it to be. It's a thing of beauty that you can look at it and you go, wow. And He wants to look at us in the same way and look at you and me and go, wow, that's amazing, that's wonderful. He wants you to succeed and do exceedingly abundantly well in everything. But anyway, about learning how to lead yourself, Paul's a good example of that. And in 1 Corinthians 9, 25-27, he says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal purpose. That's the great thing about the kingdom. Whatever it is we do in the kingdom doesn't fade away. We can achieve all sorts of success in this world, and gradually, you know, we'll die and that memory will fade away. But when we do it for the kingdom, it will last for eternity. So he says, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. You know, he's doing what Kevin was encouraging us last week. He's engaging. He said, I'm not just pretending here. This is not practice. That's a private thing. It's not just practice. That's right. This is the real deal. That's what he's saying. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul's example of running his race and working hard and diligently was that he could effectively lead others. And so you see, he was purposeful. We can position ourselves in such a way. And yes, it does require hard work and training and discipline, but it's worth it. It's worth it for the purpose of what God has prepared in advance for us to do. And you know, I'm not trying to, please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not trying to say to do more, because it's not about doing more. It's really about wanting to be more of what God made you to be. To do what God's made you to do. That's my heart this morning. That you find that and that you're able to live your life in that way. On our website, on the Bridge website, there's a bit of a description of all the things that we've been talking about. And under empowering leaders, I thought this was really good to encourage you, because it expresses the desires of the leadership in this church. And it says, our desire is to see men, women, and children fulfill God's call upon their lives. And that's what my heart is. That's what Chris's heart is. That's what Kev's heart is. That's what Mark's heart is to see all of you doing what God has called you to do. Yesterday, again, it's amazing when you're preparing things, but God just, it's Holy Spirit, just talks to you all the time. It's always good to have your spiritual ears open. And when it came to this whole thing about leading yourself, I just felt the Lord say to me, you take the lead. And this is how I'm going to finish this morning. If the Lord is talking to you, and if you've grasped something of what it means to be a leader, to leading people, and to having, to accepting and to understanding what your context or sphere is, and realizing that you may not be qualified for that, but God has qualified for you. And He has a place that you can lead and have an influence in people's lives. Then I always like to give people an opportunity to respond, believing that, you know, God is talking to us this morning. And when I heard that you take the lead, I just felt it was just, it's a bold statement. It's a great beginning point. See, we can't do anything about where we haven't gotten to, but we can do something in terms of beginning today to change things, to change direction in our lives. And if God has been speaking to you this morning, and I hope that He has, that you've been listening, I just want to invite you to just come forward. If you're wanting to say, Lord, would you help me to be a leader wherever I am? And if you're prepared to say, today, Lord, I'm willing to take the lead in my life. Lord, would you give me wisdom to do that? Would you give me strength to do that? Would you give me the heart and passion to do that? Then I just want to invite you, if you want to come up, we to pray. If you don't feel to come up, then where you're sitting, you can do that. But just give an opportunity to respond to that, to see yourself as a person who can lead. Maybe you haven't done it yet, but that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to have an influence. So just where you're standing or where you're sitting, would you just say, Lord, today I'm going to take the lead in my life. I'm going to begin. And Lord, would you be there with me? And He is. His word says He is. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Lord, would you guide me? Would you give me the wisdom that I need? Would you give me the strength and the perseverance so that I can stand firm in the various kind of situations that I find myself. Lord, would you give me the passion, your passion, to just love people with your love. And to be purposeful in how I live my life so that when people see me, they see you. That they see something attractive of you in me. And let it begin today, Lord. Just come. Help me to see the sphere of influence that you've given me. Help me to see myself in the wonderful, beautiful way that you've created me. Yes, different from the person next to me, but a vital part of your plan for the church.